Well, good morning, church. How y'all doing today? I'm so excited to be with you. Come on, let's give God a great big hand this morning. Come on, let's just thank Him and honor Him. Mm-hmm. How many of you are glad to be here today? Come on, I am so excited. Here we are. This is another part of our master's plan. How many of y'all know that God has a plan? And how many of y'all have enough faith to believe the person sitting next to you is a part of that plan? Okay, y'all should have raised your hand there. Come on, help me out here. Come on, yeah, God has a plan. You know, when I think of a plan and a purpose, for those of you that don't know, I have a background in nursing. I was a registered nurse, worked for about 10 years full-time before I became a pastor. And when I went to nursing school, Mercy School of Nursing, I learned something the very first week I was there, actually. I got accepted to school, which was a miracle because I didn't have the grades, didn't have the money, I applied late. I mean, I had everything going against me, and they took a risk on me. Yep. And I got into school, and actually, I started on a Monday, and I think it was either Wednesday or Thursday of that week. They actually take you, and they put you on a hospital floor, and they get you to start doing it. And they don't waste any time. They want you to get on the floor as quick as possible to start getting experience and to learn. And so I learned immediately that it wasn't just about being a student and a good pupil. We were going to have to do something with this. Yeah. And I became, you were called an SN, a student nurse at that point. And at Mercy School of Nursing, they had one goal in mind. It wasn't to get me to graduate. It was to get me to work at their hospital. Now, see, I want you to catch this because most education, the goal is just to get you to pay first, then to graduate. That's the whole goal. But in what they had in mind, they saw beyond graduation that we could learn and teach you through demonstration, and then you could pass your boards, then you were going to work. So you went from a student nurse to a GN, a graduate nurse. We used to call that going nowhere, GM. That's a different story. Then an RN, a real nurse, okay? That was the progression. But the goal wasn't to get an education. The goal was to work. And so even after I graduated, they still gave me somebody for 6 weeks. I wasn't even allowed to give two Tylenol without somebody looking over my shoulder. But the goal wasn't so that I keep having that person with me. The goal was to get me to do it on my own. The same is true in the kingdom of God and in Jesus' church. The goal isn't to get you to be a good student, to show up and to pay a little bit. The goal isn't to give you a certificate that now you're a member. The goal is to demonstrate to you and to delegate to you the authority of God so you can go into your world and live this and not only do that, but tell somebody else about it and help other people. See, we confuse education and information with transformation. Yeah. And I am not here to give you an education to you or inform you because, quite frankly, you could get better information elsewhere. But we are in the spiritual transformation business. Yeah. And there is a big difference with that. And that's what this book, The Master Plan of Evangelism, is all about. And if you don't have one of these, we want you to get one. It's a very significant book. Besides the Bible, I mean, I'm a pastor. You kind of have to say that one, right? It's my most favorite book. Read it too many times. I can't even bring mine because it's all falling apart. But I want you to read this because it's the plan of Jesus. It was the plan Jesus had, and it was all about his life. How many of y'all would like to learn more about Jesus' life? Amen. Yeah, so that it's going to help you see his life. And that's what we're teaching out of, and that's what we're using as this template. And so I get a couple chapters to cover with you today. So here's the big idea. Here's the big idea today. Jesus accomplishes his master plan for the world by demonstrating what to do and how to do it in delegating his authority. That's what he does. So he demonstrated and he delegated two of the things, not the only, but the two we're going to look at today. And I believe it's going to help you in your everyday life here. Now, we've been starting each week out of the Great Commission. The Great Commission found in Matthew chapter 28. Now, I want to read you a couple verses right before the Great Commission in verses 16 and 17. I'm going to first read them out of the Message translation, and I want to set this up for you today. Meanwhile, the 11 disciples were on their way to Galilee, headed for the mountain Jesus had set for their reunion. So first of all, we covered this a couple weeks ago, is first of all, if you want to be used by God, you have to listen to him and go where he tells you to go. Because if you don't go to the mountain he tells you to go to, y'all going to miss it. Okay, you got to be there. You got to be that. We use this term all the time. You got to be in the room. You don't just have to be in your room. You got to be on the right mountain. You got to be on the right mountain. So they got to the mountain here, okay? And the moment they saw him, they worshiped him, but some held back, not sure about worship, about risking themselves totally. Wow. Wow, I believe that this is a picture of where we are in Jesus' church. Some are worshiping, and some are a little concerned about risking themselves totally. Let me put it to you in another translation, in the New Living Translation, it says that some of them doubted. Literally, that word doubt means there's a crossroads. There means a decision. It means they can't choose one way or the other. Some are trying to choose to worship, and some are doubting. They're having fear or confusion or not sure. And I believe this is where many of us are. We want to take a step with God, right? We want to go with it, but we're just quite not sure, and we kind of get fear. So that's this word doubt. It's I'm not sure. There's a crossroads here. There's a shifting in positions here because I'm not sure of which way to choose. Now this is where the funny thing is about this text. Here's some worshiping Jesus. Here's some doubting. And Jesus is undeterred by their doubt. Jesus doesn't say, I'm sorry. There's some people here doubting. We're going to have to hold on. He doesn't do that. He doesn't stop and say, oh, we're going to make sure you get it all figured out. How many of y'all know if you wait until you get it all figured out, it ain't never going to happen? Right. It's like waiting until you have enough money to get married. You're never going to have enough money, okay? I'm just telling you that right now, okay? You're never going to have enough money. It's never going to happen, okay? It's like waiting until you have enough money to have kids, okay? You're never going to happen. You got to make the money. You got to make time. You got to make it happen. So here he goes, here he moves on. The next verse here, he says, so Jesus came in verse 18, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always. How often?
Always.
How often? Always. Oh, that's a long time. Come on, somebody. That's really good. That's a really cool part of the verse right there. Yeah, so Jesus says, go and make disciples. In this text, make disciples is the verb. That's the only real verb in here. Most of us say, oh, we got to go into our world. We got to go, go, go. No. That's a participle. That is saying how you make disciples, you go into your world. Then baptize, identify with Jesus. And then teach, that means guard the commands of God. So there's three things we do in support of making disciples. So Jesus had this end in mind where he was going to meet them here. Yeah, so let me just focus on this just for a second here. Jesus said, I am with you always. So how many of you ever in your life ever felt like Jesus was far away? Yeah, really, I have. How many of you ever felt like maybe you were forsaken from God? Like, really? Now, don't we all at one time or another? I believe that this verse is a key to Jesus being close. When Jesus feels far away, I think we should go back into this verse because if we're going into our world, if we're identifying with Jesus, and if we're learning his commands and keeping guard over them, he will then feel close, and you won't feel forsaken. See, so there's a key in this verse for us right here. Then it also says that he wanted to give them authority. He didn't want to give them more obligations to do. more duties to do. There's a key in these verses. When you feel like you have more obligations, when you feel like you have more duties, when you feel like you have more, God, what else do you want from me, God? Go back to this verse. It's found in the Great Commission, and it is a great joy here. Now, I want to let you know, people come to me a lot, and they say, how come our church doesn't do more outreach? How come we don't do more? I want to do more outreach. How come we don't do more things? And according to this, Jesus says, go. Again, that's how, as you're being made into a disciple, he says, go. So this is the key here. We do outreach every week. As a matter of fact, when you leave this building, the outreach begins. Wherever you go, there's an outreach waiting to happen. Your workplace is an outreach. It's an outreach waiting to happen. As you go to the store today, it's an outreach. Wherever you go to eat lunch, it's an outreach. See, wherever you go, that's Jesus going. So there's an outreach all the time. Matter of fact, if you want to accuse us of something, it's that we're doing outreach 24/7. It's always happening. Because it's the focus of outward here. As I go into my world, I'm taking Jesus with me. And it's a great joy. That's what it is here. Okay, so this is the foundation by which we launch now. And I want to talk about how Jesus accomplishes his plan through demonstration. Through demonstration. Now, 2 Timothy 3, 10 and 11. This took place roughly about 31 years, 33 years after Jesus died. Somewhere in there. So 30 years later, Jesus's plan was sustainable and reproducible. It was reproducible. His plan is still happening. This weekend, we are celebrating and we're recognizing 42 years as a church. 42 years as a church. And I've been just thinking about that a lot and just, you know, going back in that in my mind. And that's just so exciting because we're continuing to do the same things that we began 42 years ago, although we do it a little differently, okay, a little differently. But the methods have changed, but the substance hasn't changed. It's still making disciples. It's still seeing Jesus show up in your everyday life. That's the exciting thing here. That's exciting. And so 30 years after Jesus died, and he demonstrated, this is an example of the way he demonstrated, the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy. And so I sent a note to Pastor Nick this morning, and I said, my son in the faith. Now, we know each other that that's not a cut. That's not a put down. See, some people would hear that, that's a put down. It's no. See, we build with sons and daughters. Amen. We build with relationship. Right. And there was a relationship that the Apostle Paul had to Timothy. And I believe that God is doing great things in White Oak. And I believe God is continuing to do great things here. And I believe he's going to continue to do them. I believe that with all my heart. And one of the big reasons is because of you. Because there's something inside of each and every one of you that God can use to help somebody else. I believe that with all my heart. God, aren't you thankful God doesn't look at how messed up we are? Is anybody but me excited about that? Come on, that's what he does here. So in verse 10, but you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live. And what my purpose, my life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I've endured. You know all about it. I was persecuted, but the Lord rescued me from it all. See, when you have a relationship like this, Jesus demonstrated not only the good stuff, but all the stuff. But how God will rescue you. This is why we need people in our lives to tell us when we feel like we ain't going to make it, you're going to make it. No, I'm serious. Yeah, that when things get a little rough, we can still trust God, and he's still worthy of trust. He's still worthy of praise, no matter of what you're going through today, no matter how down you are. This is what I teach. This is how I live. This is what my purpose is. Oh, I may be going through a rough patch, but we all go through rough patches. Come on. The philosopher Russell Wilson, the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, says, you can't get to another mountain until you go through a valley. It must be true. Come on, somebody. So this is what he's doing here. So Jesus demonstrated some things. So let's look at what Jesus demonstrated. Jesus demonstrated a powerful prayer life. It seems to me like as you read the Bible, it seems like every time Jesus got a big crowd, he tried to slip away and pray. And some people say, well, I knew he was an introvert. No, he knew the power of prayer. As a matter of fact, of all the things recorded that the disciples could say, teach us. When Jesus prayed, in Luke chapter 11, look at the screen, 11. He was in a certain place praying, and the disciples said, teach us to. There was something about his prayer. There was something about his connection to God. If you really want to know a record of Jesus's prayer, I believe John 17 is the example. Matthew 6 teaches us how to pray. If you want to know how Jesus prayed, it's recorded in John 17. Two different things there. And so you want to write that down? Yeah, just cue you right there. Yeah. And so Jesus prayed. Now out of all the things he did, now I don't know about you, but if I was with Jesus, there was this time he made a whip and turned over tables. Yeah. Hey, Jesus, teach me when I can do that. Come on. Where's all my guys out there? Yeah, that's the kind of ministry I want to learn. Yeah. Yeah, flipping tables, making whips. Come on, that's what I'm all about. Mm-hmm. We're going to take care of business. Right? No, but this is the thing. We see that as power rather than prayer as power. Prayer is an offensive weapon. It is a weapon to be used. And I want to speak to the men specifically out there. I want to speak to you. When it comes to spiritual ministry in our church right now, we are seeing a wave of more women involved than men right now. I thank God for the women. I thank God for it happening. I'm very, very thankful and very, like, yes and amen. I just don't want the men in the church to sit back and let the women do all the offensive weaponry in our church. Am I saying that okay? And so if that would be like you sitting at home, men, and there's a noise outside, and you looking at your wife and saying, hey, you better go figure out what that is. I'm cozy. Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of snuggled in. The game's on. Y'all with me? So I want to speak. I'm being honest. I'm speaking to you right now that we don't view prayer as a weapon. We don't view spiritual things as a weapon. And it really is. And his disciples said, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And so I want to stop right here and say that there's a great prayer ministry and prophetic ministry happening in the church, very spiritual weapons being used. And I want to thank you. If you are part of the prayer team or prophetic team, just raise your hand right now. If you're a part of the prayer team, that's it. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And prophetic and all those, I really mean thank you. But men, I'm going to tell you how I learned how to pray. I showed up and listened to people pray. I saw the demonstration. I just showed up and listened and watched and had the wisdom not to say anything at first. Because I learned. And then I learned how to step out and I learned how to do it. And that's how we can learn to use weapons and learn to do spiritual things. And I say this all the time. I'll say it again. One of the most difficult things that I do in my life, the most difficult thing for me to do is pray in front of my wife. I'm being honest. She knows all my faults. Met Natalie serving in Murraysville today. She's serving on the teams there. If she was here, I would say it right in front of her. I have difficulty. I don't feel like I'm confident. I feel like she knows me, and I'm a hypocrite. I feel like all those things, and I feel rough. But when she encourages me, and she'll speak to me, and she says amen when I'm done praying, even though it doesn't always sound like flowery and great, I'm Superman. Come on, somebody. And what I'm trying to say is that Jesus demonstrated, and if you want to learn how to do spiritual things, there's a demonstration for you to learn them. Is that good? So Jesus did that. He demonstrated prayer here. That's what it is. And it was spiritual. Okay, Jesus demonstrated, number two here, practical presentation. His life lived the word of God. He was the word made into flesh here. That's what the verse says. And he lived it. You want to know why? The latest statistics are 70% of young people that grow up into the church. It used to be earlier. It used to be 18 to 20. Now it's roughly 25 to 32. They're leaving the church. The number one reason cited is the church is full of hypocrites. That's the number one reason they're citing that. Because there tends to be a do as I say, not as I do. Yeah, no, it means, follow me. It's not perfect, but it's complete. See, there's a difference between perfect obedience and complete obedience. I mess up a lot of times, but I pick myself back up, I learn a lesson, and I move forward complete in obedience, not with perfect obedience. And I'm not afraid to risk it all. Or you see the tie in there. So Jesus lived it. He gave them a demonstration. See, the Apostle Paul said in Corinthians, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. That's why, like even growing up, our kids, there were certain things that we never ate in our house. Because if I didn't eat it, they didn't have to eat it. So we didn't have Brussels sprouts. No, we ain't going to do that in my house. Mm-mm, no way. Now, I go out of town, kids, you're on your own, okay? Your mama eats them, you got to eat them. I'm just telling you, that's the way it is, okay? The thing was at our house, like if you don't see me doing it, okay, you don't do it. If you don't see me watching a show like that, you don't watch a show like that. If I don't laugh, it's not a funny joke. Now, if I laugh, you could laugh. No, I'm being honest. But we're afraid to say that now because it's just we've fallen into I can't live the word or there's no such thing as a good demonstration. And there is. This is what Jesus did. He demonstrated, and you can too. You can live a victorious life. Jesus had a lot of obstacles, but he lived a victorious life. And let me just give you a couple of illustrations here. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus talked to a great multitude and taught them all. But he spent three times as long talking to the disciples privately as he did to everybody publicly. In Mark 10, there's another time where he's explaining something to the what we refer to as the rich young ruler. And he, again, they were having trouble, so he told his disciples privately. What I'm trying to say to you, there's a practical presentation of Jesus. And that's what we're going to live. Okay, so he demonstrated that. So if that means we need to learn how to pray. We need to learn a practical presentation. Are you with me? Yeah. Now, he also demonstrated a passionate pursuit of souls. I love this. Luke 5, the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law, they were complaining to Jesus' disciples, why do you eat and drink with such scum? He was eating with like people who had past. They didn't have a good reputation. And Jesus is the red letters. Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I didn't come for all those who think they're righteous. I come for those who know they're sinners and need to repent. Come on, somebody. Come on. That's who he came for. Sinners that need to repent. He demonstrated a passionate pursuit of souls. Everything was about souls. Everything in the demonstration was about people coming to Christ here. See, a lot of people want deep teaching, and they want teaching and deep this and deep that. What about spiritual transformation? That's what I'm after. I want to turn the information into revelation. Because people, this is what they're longing for, and this is what they're looking for. Come on, they're looking for that realness. They're looking for that brokenness of God here. A practical presentation here. You know what? I have been having so much fun lately just sharing Jesus. No fancy way. I've been just having a ball. As a matter of fact, I was on an outreach a week ago, and it was called a tennis match. And I'm just out my outreach. And I'm just waiting for an opportunity. And God presented a lot of them because I wasn't playing that well. And so I was just talking. And as I'm just sharing, it's like just talking about Jesus. That's all. Hey, I love this Jesus. He's really done a lot in my life. And he's like, what? You know? He's like, he's going to call on God. I got to change the subject, you know? And he looked at me and he said, hey, don't you have a theology practice? And it threw me. Nobody's ever asked me, do I have a theology practice? I had to think, I guess I do. And if you want to come, the copay is 10%. I'm just thinking out loud here. But he did. He goes, don't you have a theology practice? And it threw me. And I went, I guess we do. We have this theology found in the Word of God, and we're practicing it. I mean, if lawyers can have practices and doctors can have practices, I think we should have some practice too. Yeah. We're going to keep practicing until we get it right. Come on, somebody. Yeah, are you with me? Yeah, and so I've just been having fun just sharing, just talking about like not trying to get all twisted up in theology and this and that and who you're voting for and all this stuff. No, I'm just going to talk to you about God. Let me just talk to you about Him. So that's what Jesus demonstrated, and that's what we need demonstrated. And that's what we can demonstrate to somebody else. People are looking for a demonstration, not an explanation. That's what people are looking for. They're looking for a demonstration, not an explanation. That's a tweetable point. Okay, if you're looking for something to post today, that's it. It's not your meal today. Nobody cares what you're eating. Okay, do that. That will go, okay? Okay, let's move on to delegated authority. You know, I was a Christian 2 years, loved Jesus, served God, but when I came to this church, something changed. I went from being a good Christian to now I was actually going to put it into practice. As a matter of fact, it was my second week here at this church 42 years ago next month that I actually came and I started serving. And how I served, I had to make sure all the chairs, we were meeting at a Holiday Inn. I had to make sure the chairs were straight. Pastor Keith said, okay, now you need to make sure the chairs are straight. So it was a very important job. It was. Because the way I learned, the first week, he says, don't just straighten the chairs. Pray over every person that's going to be sitting in them. And I was a good Christian, but I still didn't know how it worked. I was like, well, I don't know who's going to be sitting in them. I mean, these are the questions I asked. What if nobody sits in this one? Well, pray somebody will. I believe this is how I learned. But I learned this, that every time I straightened the chairs, it wasn't about the chairs. It was about the God who's going to change the people who sit in the chairs. See, there was a delegated authority, not an obligation that I had. We think in terms of obligations. God's thinking in terms of delegated authority and empowerment. And so I graduated from the chairs, and I moved on to setting up sound equipment because we set up every week. And so I graduated with putting the right cords together, believe it or not. And then I graduated. A couple months later, I got on the worship team. And then, before you know it, all the equipment was in our garage every week. I stored it. It was a joy. Why? Because it wasn't about the sound equipment. It wasn't about the chairs. It was about the delegated authority of Jesus Christ. That was that's what we were all after, right? It was about people's lives changing. And so when you serve here at Bridge City Church and we say, hey, the water bottle's got to be turned a certain way, and you're like, oh my gosh, lighten up. Well, I read the Bible and God's a God of order. He likes it when they're straight. No, yeah, you see, but what I'm trying to say is we miss it because we're missing the bigger picture. Jesus had this bigger picture. It wasn't to give them, okay, guys, you better get this right. Come on. I mean, you read the Bible. I mean, every now and then he's like, oh my goodness, how long do I have to be with you? How long do I have to be with you? How long? I mean, he knew how long he had. But they had to live it, and they had to learn it here. And it was all about people meeting Jesus. And there's many people in the room right now. It's not that you don't have the right goals or desires. You don't have the right system that will lead you there. A goal and a desire will get you nowhere other than have a hope for the future. But a system and a plan will get you there. And that's what we need to learn is how to get there with demonstration and a delegation that we can have in our lives here. I am so thankful. There are there's two couples here today that have had a very, very significant impact in my life. If Natalie was here, I'd say Natalie and I, we're both of our lives, in different areas of our lives. And it's because they demonstrated what it means to do something, and they helped us in ways, but they didn't do it just for the moment. They did it with a bigger picture in mind. And I'm going to mention them, not so that, I want to mention their names right here because I want you to not only honor them and the impact they had in me, but I want you to see yourself now as the one who can have an impact on somebody else. See, there's many people sitting here right now, you have no hope God could ever use you. And I want to tell you right now, God can use you. It might not be up here preaching, but we got one person preaching today. We don't need another one. Right. But God does need you.
Right.
And the two couples are my brother Larry and Phyllis and Rob and Sue right here. And I just want to say thank you. And And Natalie and I want to say something to you. Natalie and I are never done learning. We're never going to be done learning. We're never going to be done asking questions. We're never going to be done asking, how do you do this? What are you doing? How did you face this? And they've had impact in our marriage, in our finances, in our lives, as living a practical presentation and doing it over the long haul. 30 plus years, 40 years plus. But see, they've helped me. And so I'm modeling to you, why did Natalie and I have such a passion for marriage right now? We have a passion because we've been deposited into, so now I want to give it away. Why do we believe that your finances can get in order? Because ours were totally jacked up, but they got in order because we got a system to do it, not just a someday goal to do it. And now our system can honor God, not just make us better and have better vacations. See, we're twisted in our thinking, and God is saying, I'm going to demonstrate to you, but I'm going to give you a delegation now because everything I have received, now I'm free to give. So Natalie and I live with our notebooks open. We still take notes because maturity is not defined by how much I know. Maturity is defined by what I'm going to do with the knowledge I have. And so what was Jesus delegating? Luke chapter 9, first couple verses. He says he's going to delegate authority to them. I'm going to send them out and you're going to declare the kingdom of God. Oh, that song we sang today about the kingdom of God. Come on, didn't that light a fire in you? It wasn't a cool melody. It was the words that were saying, his is the kingdom and the power and the authority. Oh, yeah. But not only did he do it with the disciples here, and I don't have it up front here, but in Luke chapter 10, he taught 70 people. He trained them and delegated to 70. Because some of you are saying, well, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a leader, I'm not a connection group leader. No, he taught 70 people in Luke chapter 10. And matter of fact, they went out and did it. And he gave them specific instructions. You want to write that down. Luke 9, 1 through 12, and then Luke 10, 1 through, I think it's like 22, 23. Write that down. You want to find out how Jesus taught them. I'm waiting. I paused just for that moment. But check what happens when they used his delegated authority in their life. Jesus, help me find it. It's really good. Helps if you get to the right chapter. And when the 72 disciples returned after he delegated to them, in verse 17, they joyfully reported to him. I want to tell you, see, God wants to bring us great joy. They joyfully reported to him. Do you want more joy in your life? Just get involved in going, identifying with him, being baptized, and guard his commands. You'll have more joy. But not only that, they had joy. At the same time, verse 21, Luke 10, at the same time, Jesus was filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. What brought Jesus great joy? Us using his delegated authority because we've been demonstrated to and use our authority for others, that brings Jesus great joy. How many of y'all would like to make God happy? Amen. Are you seeing the plan? Are you seeing it now? Yeah, it's great joy. And he says, okay, this is how you're going to do it. This is what you're going to do. I want to delegate to you an authority to see other people's lives change. And he gave clear instructions. So how are we going to do this? I'm going to give you a simple way to help you. Actually, I'm going to give you three simple ways. Why have one when you can have three? Yeah. Number one, there's this message. And I've been using it. It's been helping me. I stumbled across it. I hope it helps you. God knows, he sees, and he cares. Matter of fact, I want you to practice. I want you to say, God knows, he sees, and cares. Are you all right? Are you ready here? God knows, he sees, and he cares. Okay, one more time. God knows, he sees, and he cares. Okay, so I know you can say it. Now it's just a matter of just saying that to people. Just say it to them. Say, hey, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where you are right now. Just try it. Now, if you have a better way to do it, you can do it your way. I'm good. I'm not saying it's the only way. I'm just saying a way. Maybe you have a better way. Why don't you just try it? Just let people know God's there. Just let them know. I've been just doing this and having fun with it. Don't get up and all sharing doctrines and church doctrines like, I don't know about all that, but I mean, I know Jesus, he saved me. He took a kid 15 years old with no purpose in his life. 15-year-old kid with no purpose in his life other than existing in the world, and he gave me a purpose. And I've been spending the last 40-plus years figuring out what that purpose is. And I believe I'm going to figure it out before he comes back. Come on, somebody. It's just him. And the other thing is, how about this? How about a 30-second prayer for somebody? And no matter where you are, you see somebody, they have a need. Say, I don't know what you're going through. Can I pray for you? Just a 30-second prayer. God, I just pray for so-and-so. I pray that you'd help them today, give them peace or heal them, Lord, physically, or just let them know you're there. Amen. That was less than 30 seconds. How about a 30-second prayer? How about wherever you go, just ask the cashier when you check out the store. Say, do you have anything I could pray for today? Just like that. I don't know. They say, no. Okay, I just want to let you know God knows, he sees, he cares. You have a good day. The last way I'm going to ask you, number three, is this, is we're going to start a brand new series, not next week, but in October. We're going to do a five-week series, and the series title is called Crushed. What do you do when your world is falling apart? How many of you have ever had your world fall apart? How many of you feel like it's a regular occurrence? You go. So this is designed for all the people that you know. This is designed for everybody, all your friends, your family, all the people at work, all the men you work with, the women. This is designed to help you help them. Because you're not only going to get empowered, they're going to get empowered too. Are you with me? And it's going to be really exciting. So you're going to hear more about that next week. Those are three ways you can respond to today's message. If you've heard anything today that's just encouraging to you, challenging to you, you just say, man, I need to step it up and be demonstrated. I need to either demonstrate my life or be demonstrated to, or I want to really learn what this delegation of God is. Just stand to your feet. I'm going to pray for you. That's all you're saying is, I'd like to learn what this means in my everyday life. That's all you're standing up for. This is no other commitment other than that. So Heavenly Father, I pray for every person right now that's standing up. I pray, Father, for the grace of God on every one of us, me standing here, Lord, that you would help me learn what it means, learn what this means, and to do it, God. Lord God, let my life be a demonstration, but let me continue to learn, and let me use the delegated power of God in such a way that honors you, and let my life be lived for you, God. And for all the people right now, man, I just feel this really strong. For all the people that are going through a really rough time right now, a really, really rough time, man, I'm just speaking to you right now, and I'm saying to you, oh, man, I just pray for you. Whether it's confusion mentally or distress, something happened in your life, I just pray right now for the touch of God, just that you would know that God has not forsaken you, that God's with you. And give God, just let him know right now. There are people here you think God has forgotten about you, and he has not forgotten about you. I just want to speak that over you right now. Right now. It doesn't feel like it, but God wants you to know that right now in Jesus' name. Right now, Lord God, let that Spirit of God, just let it wash, let it wash, let it go. Let it go, Lord God, let it go. And if there are people here today that, you don't have a day, a moment, or a time when you became a follower of Jesus Christ, where Jesus Christ became the only way to heaven, not one of many ways, but the only way to heaven. And if you're here today and you don't have a day where you repented, the joyful repentance of sin, I want to offer you today where you can say, Jesus, I have sinned. I have fallen short. But I want you to forgive me, and I want to become a follower of you. I want you to be the leader now. I want you to be the center of my life. I really want to become this Christian. I want to become a disciple. I want to become a follower based on the blood covenant of Jesus Christ. I want to let you know God's kindness is here. His mercy is here. Clarity is kindness, and clarity is here right now. This is how you get it. I'm just letting this moment sit for a moment. Just letting it sit. So, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, if that's you and you're here today and you want today to be your new beginning, you want today to be your day that you begin a relationship with him, I want you to do something really joyful and fun and like exciting. Man, I just want you just to slip up your hand right where you are just so we know who you are, we can pray for you. Anybody here today? Thank you. Very good. Anybody else? Come on, anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Now, how this is going to happen, if you raise your hand, somebody's going to come up to you, and they're going to offer to pray for you. They just want to pray for you because we don't just want to treat you as a number in a crowd. We want to treat you as a real person, a name, a real value. We want to put value on your life that comes from Jesus Christ. That's why we do it that way. You're important to God. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. How many of y'all had a good time hearing the word of the Lord this morning? Come on. Amen. You could be seated. Pastor Nick, come on up. I love y'all. Y'all are great. Amen.